And he sees that the fact that we've got free will plays a part in how we experience ourselves and how we experience suffering. And again, he's kind of onto something there. There is something to do with having free will and experiencing suffering. So most religious traditions notice something. They notice that there is something to do with the relationship between having free will and expressing that and the kind of experience you have of the world. And they usually devise spiritual disciplines to look at that. And quite often those spiritual disciplines are to do with denying yourself things. Fasting, abstaining, beds of nails and hair shirts and all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to think of what the best way to say this is. That is the world that we've inherited. We've had 2,000 years of Christianity, and that view of things has really never been fundamentally challenged until relatively recently. So again, if you listened to last week's talk, or you were here last week, we went into the whole new movement of atheism and the premise of people challenging the basis of a God-based universe. So if this is all that comes with a God-based universe, the question we have to ask ourselves is, if we reject the idea of a religion that's dependent on God, and we want nonetheless to get at the root of our suffering, is what we're saying as Buddhists really any different from what St. Augustine's saying? Is it any different? So in a theistic tradition, desire in the body or in the mind comes up because of how they see your experience of being alive and being aware in relation to God. And you can see this if you look at the book of Genesis. Right at the heart of the book of Genesis, you've got the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. The desire of Adam and Eve is located right at the heart of the sin of disobedience from God. It's their desire for knowledge, their desire to actualize themselves as human beings and exercise their free will. And if you take things literally in the kind of way that often people who relate to the Bible do, then you end up with a disastrous situation where that's seen as being the fall of human beings. If you don't take it literally, you end up with a rather wonderful story that's a bit like a gigantic cosmic drama. And again, it leads you back into this central question of, I'm alive, I'm aware, I've got desires, and somehow there's a relationship between my desire and my experience of suffering in the world. So we don't really want to do, as Buddhists, literalism in that sort of way. Last week I talked about the Buddha having three basic propositions about reality. And the middle proposition was that to the extent that you see the nature of reality clearly, to that extent you suffer. So if you don't see reality clearly at all, you'll go through life behaving as if things are one way when they're another, and you'll find it painful, you'll find it difficult. To the extent that you begin to see clearly the nature of reality, that it's impermanent, it doesn't last, that there's nothing fixed about it, that we generally have an unsatisfactory sense of it because we see it as being fixed and we see it as being permanent. When you start to see that, you start to see the connection between how you behave and how you experience suffering. The Buddha puts it very succinctly in an early passage from, I think it's the Udana, where he says, the impulse I want and the impulse I'll have, lose them. The impulse I want and the impulse I'll have, lose them. So the language of that is a good deal less loaded than the language of St. Augustine. And the Buddha's model of the universe is a lot less loaded than the model of the early Christians and indeed the late Christians.